Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to be talking about something that's super important to all of us.
Definitely.
Our health information.
Yeah.
You know, it's something we probably don't think about all that much, but every time we go to the doctor or, you know,
sure,
fill out a form online or use a health app,
yeah,
all that data is out there digitally.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, making sure that stays private and protected, it's more critical than ever these days.
You're absolutely right. We're talking about cybersecurity and healthcare.
Okay.
And it directly affects you, the listener.
Okay.
The rules about how your data is protected have been in place for quite a while, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How long are we talking about here?
So the main framework that we're going to be diving into today is the HIPAA security rule.
Okay.
And this is older than some of you listening.
Wait, seriously?
I'm not kidding.
How old is this thing?
It was established back in 1996.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Back when dial-up internet was still a thing. It's like trying to navigate today's superhighway with a horse and buggy.
Right.
So much has changed in the digital world.
Wow.
And these rules, they're finally getting a much-needed overhaul.
Okay, so outdated rules getting a much-needed update.
Yeah.
Right, I'm hooked already.
Okay, good.
So what kind of changes are we talking about?
Right.
Is this like, you know, minor tweaks, or is this like a complete digital makeover?
Think more along the lines of a total cybersecurity renovation.
Ooh, okay.
We're talking about fundamental shifts in how healthcare providers protect your data.
Okay.
And you are going to notice the difference.
Like how?
Well, remember filling out those medical history forms on your phone while sitting in a crowded waiting room.
Ugh.
Possibly connected to their public Wi-Fi.
Yeah, not the most comforting thought now that you mention it.
Well, one of the biggest changes is mandatory encryption.
Okay.
That means all of your sensitive information will be protected by strong encryption.
Yeah.
Both when it's stored and when it's being transmitted.
So, like, always.
Yeah, think of it like sending that information in a locked safe.
Okay.
That only authorized people have the key to open.
I like that analogy. Yeah.
No more postcards lying around for anyone to read.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that definitely sounds like a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
But why wasn't encryption already mandatory? It seems like such a basic security measure.
Right.
Especially when you're dealing with, you know, something as sensitive as health information.
It really does seem obvious now, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It does.
But back in 1996, encryption technology.
Okay.
It wasn't as advanced or as readily available as it is today.
Okay.
And frankly, the digital threats we face now, they weren't as prevalent or as sophisticated as they were back then.
Okay.
Now it's simply non-negotiable.
Okay, so it sounds like we're not just talking about catching up with technology, but also, you know, getting ahead of the bad guys.
Exactly. Right? These updates are directly tied to the Biden administration's national cybersecurity strategy. Yeah, they recognize that healthcare is part of our critical infrastructure.
Right.
And it's a prime target for cyber attacks.
Okay.
So they're pushing for stricter regulations and a more proactive approach to cybersecurity.
So it's a matter of national security now.
It is.
That definitely puts things into perspective.
Yeah, and that means healthcare providers can't just pay lip service to security anymore.
Right.
These updates have teeth.
Okay.
They're not suggestions. They're mandatory requirements.
Okay, so no more wiggle room.
Right.
Everyone has to step up their game.
Precisely.
Okay.
Every healthcare provider, from small clinics to large hospital systems, will be held to the same high standard.
Wow.
And that's not just about technology.
Right.
It's also about accountability.
Okay.
They'll need to document their security practices.
Okay.
Conduct thorough risk analyses. And even prove they can restore data quickly if something goes wrong.
Whoa, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Proving they can restore data, what does that even mean?
This is where things get really interesting.
Updates include much stronger incident response protocols.
Okay.
If a healthcare provider experiences a cyber attack or a system failure, they have a very tight time frame to get everything back up and running.
Okay.
We're talking just 72 hours to restore all systems and data.
72 hours?
Yeah.
That seems incredibly ambitious.
It is.
Especially for, you know, larger organizations. Well, is that even realistic?
It is a challenging goal.
Okay.
But it underscores just how critical it is to protect patient data.
Right.
And minimize disruptions to care.
Makes sense.
No more waiting weeks or months to access your medical records after a breach.
Right.
This is about prioritizing patient safety and data integrity.
Okay.
In the face of increasingly sophisticated threats.
Okay, I'm starting to get a sense of just how big of a shift this is for the healthcare industry.
It's big.
But before we get too far ahead, let's unpack some of these specific updates.
Okay, let's do it.
You mentioned something about moving away from required and addressable specifications.
Yes.
What does that even mean?
So this is a huge change that really elevates the accountability for everyone involved.
Right.
The current security rule.
Right.
It has some flexibility built in.
Okay.
Some things are required, meaning everyone has to do them.
Right.
No questions asked.
Makes sense.
Others are addressable.
Okay.
Giving organizations some leeway to choose how they implement them based on their needs and resources.
So some organizations could, like, basically choose to skip certain security measures.
It wasn't quite that simple.
Okay.
But there was definitely more room for interpretation.
Okay.
But with these updates,
yeah,
that gray area is gone.
Oh, okay.
Almost all security specifications,
yeah,
are now mandatory.
Wow.
With very few exceptions.
Okay.
It's about establishing a consistent and robust baseline for cybersecurity across the board.
Okay, so no more cutting corners.
Exactly.
So it's a one-size-fits-all approach. Does, yeah, that really work for, you know, everyone from a tiny rural clinic to a massive hospital network?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that the Department of Health and Human Services is actively seeking feedback on.
Okay.
During the public comment period.
Okay.
It's a balancing act.
Yeah.
Between ensuring strong security for everyone.
Right.
And recognizing that different organizations have different needs and resources.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's still room for adjustments and fine-tuning.
Yes.
Based on feedback from the healthcare industry.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The goal is to make these updates as effective and practical as possible.
Right.
But the core message is clear.
What's that?
Cybersecurity is no longer optional.
Okay.
It's a fundamental requirement for anyone handling sensitive patient data.
All right, so what does this mandatory documentation look like?
Sure.
Is it just like mountains of paperwork, or is there like a more strategic approach to it?
Think of it as creating a security blueprint for each organization.
Okay.
It's about documenting all their security policies,
mm-hmm,
procedures,
why,
plans,
mm-hmm,
and even the risk analyses they conduct.
Uh-huh.
It's like having a detailed roadmap of how they're protecting your data.
I'm starting to see the value in that.
Yeah.
It's not just about checking boxes,
right,
but about demonstrating a real commitment to security.
Exactly.
Okay.
This documentation will be essential for demonstrating compliance during audits.
Okay.
Which are also going to be more frequent and rigorous.
Okay. So audits are getting a serious upgrade.
They are.
What else is changing in terms of like risk management and compliance?
Well, for starters, there are firm deadlines for existing requirements.
Okay.
No more dragging their feet on implementing essential security measures.
Got it.
And it's not just about meeting those deadlines.
Right.
It's about proving how they're meeting them.
Okay.
Which is where that detailed documentation comes into play.
So they need to show their work.
Yeah.
Not just the final answer.
You got it.
Okay.
Another significant change is the requirement for a technology asset inventory.
Okay.
And a network map.
Okay. Those sound a bit technical.
Yeah.
Can you break those down for me?
Sure.
And more importantly, for our listener.
Absolutely.
So,
think of a technology asset inventory.
Okay.
As a detailed list of all the devices and systems that handle your health information.
Okay.
We're talking computers.
Right.
Servers.
Mm-hmm.
Mobile devices.
Okay.
Even medical equipment,
mm,
that stores or transmits data.
Wow.
It's like taking stock of all the potential entry points,
right,
for a cyber attack.
That makes sense.
And then the network map.
Yeah.
It's a visual representation.
Okay.
But it goes a step further.
Okay, how so?
It shows how all those devices and systems are connected.
Okay.
And how data flows between them.
Got it.
It helps identify vulnerabilities and potential entry points for cyber attacks.
So it's like a detective's crime scene map, but for data breaches?
Exactly.
Okay.
It helps investigators track the attacker's movements.
Right.
And assess the extent of the damage.
Wow, I'm starting to appreciate the level of detail these updates are going into.
Yeah.
It's really about creating a much more secure and transparent environment for our health information.
It is.
And that includes having a clear understanding of the potential risks and vulnerabilities.
Right.
That's where the risk analysis comes in.
Exactly.
Right, you mentioned that earlier.
Yes.
Can you kind of elaborate on what that entails?
It's all about thinking like a cyber criminal.
Oh, okay.
Healthcare organizations will be required to conduct thorough risk analyses, identifying any weaknesses in their systems that could be exploited by hackers.
Got it.
They need to be proactive,
mm-hmm,
constantly assessing,
right,
and mitigating potential threats.
So it's not just about building a strong fortress,
yeah,
but also about constantly scanning the horizon for,
yeah,
potential invaders.
Exactly.
Oh.
And of course, they need to document this entire process meticulously.
It sounds like document everything is the recurring theme here. But I have to admit, it's making me feel more confident about the level of security being implemented.
That's the goal.
Okay.
These updates aim to create a much more robust and resilient cybersecurity framework for healthcare.
I like it.
And we haven't even touched on the technical safeguards yet.
Well, let's not keep the listener waiting any longer.
Okay.
I'm eager to dive into the technical side of things and see how these updates will actually work in practice.
Let's do it.
All right, lead the way.
This is where we really start to see how technology is being leveraged to protect your sensitive health information.
All right, let's get technical.
Okay.
What kind of safeguards are being put in place to actually protect our electronic health information?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the stuff that like lives in computers and online.
Right. That's where we see some really significant changes in these updates.
Okay.
It's not just about having rules.
Right.
It's about putting those rules into action with strong technical measures. And one of the most important ones, as we touched on earlier, is mandatory encryption.
Right. The locked safe analogy.
Yeah.
But what does that actually look like in practice? Is it just about like encrypting emails, or are we talking about like a more comprehensive approach?
It's about protecting your data wherever it lives.
Okay.
At rest and in transit.
Okay.
Think of it this way.
Okay.
At rest is when your data is stored somewhere.
Okay.
Like on a server in a hospital's data center.
Okay.
In transit is when it's moving.
Okay.
Being sent from one place to another, maybe from your doctor's office to a specialist or to your insurance company.
Okay, so it's like having a security detail for your data 24/7.
Exactly. Right. And encryption is a core part of that security detail.
Okay.
It scrambles your information into an unreadable format.
Okay.
So even if someone manages to get their hands on it, they can't decipher it without the proper decryption key.
So it's like having a secret code that only authorized people know.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
And the good news is encryption technology has come a long way since 1996.
Right.
Today, it's highly effective.
Okay.
And relatively easy to implement.
Okay.
Which is why these updates are making it mandatory across the board.
That makes me feel a lot better knowing that my health information will have that extra layer of protection.
Right.
But what about when someone needs to access my data for legitimate reasons?
Sure.
Like a doctor or a nurse providing care.
Right. That's where things like access controls and authentication come in.
Okay.
Encryption doesn't mean your data is locked away in a vault forever.
Right.
It's about ensuring that only authorized individuals have access.
Okay.
And that access is tracked and monitored.
Okay. So it's not just about keeping the bad guys out,
right,
but also about knowing who has the keys and making sure they're using them responsibly.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And these updates go even further by mandating multi-factor authentication.
Now, that's something I've definitely encountered in my own digital life.
Yeah.
It's like when you log into your bank account
and
they send a code to your phone that you have to enter to verify it's really you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's an extra layer of security.
Okay.
That makes it much harder for unauthorized users to gain access.
Okay.
Think of it as having two locks on your door instead of just one.
Got it. Yeah.
It's a simple but effective way to deter hackers.
Okay. I'm all for making things harder for hackers.
Good.
What other technical safeguards are being put in place?
Good.
I remember reading something about vulnerability scanning and penetration testing.
Those are two critical components of a proactive cybersecurity strategy.
Okay.
It's not enough to just build a strong wall.
Right.
You also need to constantly check for cracks and weak spots.
So it's like regular maintenance for your digital infrastructure.
That's a great analogy.
Okay.
Vulnerability scanning is like having a home inspector come in and look for potential problems like leaky pipes or faulty wiring.
Right.
In this case.
Yeah.
They're looking for vulnerabilities in your systems that hackers could exploit.
Okay. And penetration testing is like having someone try to break into your house to see if they can.
Exactly. Ethical hackers, that is.
Oh, okay.
They're essentially hired to simulate real-world cyber attacks, but in a controlled environment.
Okay.
The goal is to find those vulnerabilities before the bad guys do.
Right.
And fix them before they can be exploited.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's about staying one step ahead of the game.
Precisely. And these updates are requiring healthcare organizations to be much more proactive in their approach to security.
Okay.
It's not enough to just react to breaches anymore.
Right.
They need to be constantly anticipating and mitigating potential threats.
So they need to be thinking like hackers.
In a way, yes.
Okay.
They need to understand how hackers think.
Okay.
What tools and techniques they use.
Right.
And what their motivations are.
Yeah.
Only then can they effectively defend against those threats.
That's pretty intense.
It is.
I'm starting to understand why these updates are being described as a major overhaul for the healthcare industry.
They really are.
Yeah.
It's a shift from a reactive to a proactive security posture.
Okay.
And it's not just about implementing new technologies.
All right.
But also about changing the culture of cyber.
Not just the IT department's problem.
Exactly. Everyone who handles sensitive patient information.
Yeah.
Even indirectly.
Right.
Needs to understand the risks.
Okay.
And how to mitigate them.
Okay.
It's about creating a culture where security is top of mind for everyone all the time.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's a holistic approach to cybersecurity, yeah. Not just a Band-Aid solution.
Exactly. And speaking of a holistic approach.
Yeah.
These updates also go into great detail about incident response protocols.
Right. We talked about the 72-hour restoration window.
Yeah.
But what else is involved in responding to, like, a cyber attack or system failure?
It's about having a clear plan in place for how to handle a security incident.
Okay.
It's like having a fire drill.
Right.
But for cyber attacks.
So everyone knows what to do in case of a data breach emergency.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's about containing the damage.
Okay.
Notifying affected individuals.
Right.
And restoring systems and data as quickly as possible.
Got it.
And it's not just about having a plan on paper.
Oh.
It's about regularly testing that plan.
Right.
To make sure it actually works when you need it.
So it's like running those fire drills.
Yeah.
To make sure everyone knows where the exits are.
Right.
And how to use the fire extinguisher.
Exactly. Practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to cybersecurity.
Makes sense.
You don't want to be figuring things out in the middle of a crisis.
I can definitely see the value in that.
Mm.
But what about preventing breaches in the first place?
Sure.
Or are there any like specific measures in these updates that address that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We've talked about encryption,
right.
Multi-factor authentication,
mm-hmm.
vulnerability scanning,
right.
and penetration testing.
Right.
But there's another important safeguard I want to mention.
Okay.
Network segmentation.
Okay, network segmentation. That sounds familiar, but I can't quite recall what it is.
Okay.
Can you refresh my memory?
Yeah.
And our listeners, of course.
Think of it like this.
Oh.
Imagine your house has a plumbing problem.
Okay.
And a pipe bursts in your bathroom.
Okay.
Now, you wouldn't want that leap to flood your entire house, right?
Right.
You'd want to contain it to that one room.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So how does that apply to, like, data networks?
Network segmentation works the same way.
Okay.
It's about dividing your network into smaller, isolated segments.
Okay.
So that if one segment is compromised,
yeah,
the entire network isn't affected.
So it's like damage control for data breaches.
Exactly. Yeah. It limits the blast radius of a cyber attack.
Okay.
Making it much harder for hackers to move laterally within a network.
Got it.
And access sensitive information.
Wow, that's a really clever approach.
Yeah.
It's like having multiple layers of security.
Mm-hmm.
So even if one layer fails,
right,
there are others to back it up.
You're getting it.
Yeah.
These updates are all about creating a much more robust and resilient cybersecurity posture for healthcare.
Okay.
And there's one more important detail I want to mention before we move on.
Okay.
I'm all ears.
Remember those separate controls for backup and recovery we talked about earlier?
Right. The safety net for the safety net.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, there's an important requirement in the updates that focuses specifically on those systems.
What's the new requirement?
It's all about ensuring that your backup and recovery systems.
Right.
Are just as secure, if not more so, than your primary systems.
Okay.
Think about it.
Yeah.
If your primary systems are compromised in a cyber attack,
right.
Your backups could be your only hope of recovering your data.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
You don't want to lose your only lifeline in a crisis.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what does that look like in practice?
Right.
Are we talking about like separate security protocols,
uh-huh.
different encryption keys, things like that?
Exactly. You want to make sure those backups are isolated from your main network.
Okay.
And protected with their own set of security measures.
Okay.
You don't want a hacker to be able to compromise your primary systems.
And then just wipe out your backups as well.
Yeah. That would be bad.
That would be a disaster.
It would be like losing both your original and your copy of something important.
Yeah.
There's no going back from that.
That's why these updates are placing so much emphasis on backups and recovery.
Okay.
They're essential for business continuity.
Right.
And for ensuring that patient data is protected, even in the worst case scenario.
All right. I'm feeling a lot more confident about the level of security being put in place with these updates,
Good.
but we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
And I'm sure our listeners' head is spinning a bit with all this technical jargon.
You're right. We've thrown a lot of information at them.
Yeah. Maybe it's time to shift gears a bit.
Sure.
And talk about the bigger picture.
Okay.
What's the ultimate goal of these updates?
Yeah.
Is it just about compliance and checking boxes?
Right.
Or is there like a deeper purpose here?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it's one that's really important to address. These updates aren't just about creating more work for healthcare providers.
Okay.
Or making their lives more difficult.
Right.
It's ultimately about protecting patients.
Okay, now we're talking, that's what really matters at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's about ensuring that your sensitive health information
right.
is treated with the utmost care and respect.
Okay.
It's about giving you peace of mind, knowing that your data is safe and secure.
So it's about building trust
mm-hmm.
between patients and the healthcare system.
That's a big part of it.
Okay.
These updates aim to create a more transparent and accountable environment.
Right.
Where patients feel confident
yeah.
that their data is being handled responsibly.
I like that. It's not just about security for security's sake.
Right.
It's about security for the benefit of patients.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's why it's so important for patients to understand these updates.
Right.
And what they mean for their own health information.
Okay. So let's break that down for our listener. What are like the key takeaways here?
Yeah.
What do they really need to know about how these updates will impact their lives?
The most important thing to remember
yeah.
is that these updates are designed to make healthcare safer and more secure for everyone.
Okay.
They're about raising the bar for cybersecurity across the board.
Right.
And holding everyone who handles sensitive patient data accountable.
So it's a good thing for patients overall.
Absolutely. You should feel more confident.
Okay.
Knowing that your health information is being protected with a much higher level of care and security.
That's great. But it's not just about sitting back and letting the healthcare industry handle everything right.
Right.
We as patients
mm-hmm.
have a role to play in protecting our own data as well.
You're absolutely right. It's a shared responsibility.
Okay.
And there are simple steps you can take.
Okay.
To be more proactive in protecting your own health information.
Okay. Let's empower our listeners with some actionable advice.
Right.
What can they do to be more cyber savvy healthcare consumers?
Well, for starters, be mindful of the websites and apps you use to share your health information.
Right. Because not all apps and websites are created equal
right.
when it comes to security.
Exactly. Look for signs that they're taking security seriously.
Okay.
Such as using encryption and having a clear privacy policy.
Okay.
If you're not sure, don't be afraid to ask questions.
It's like checking the locks on your door before you leave the house.
Yeah.
You want to make sure your data is as secure as your physical belongings.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And just as you wouldn't give your house key to a stranger.
Right.
Be cautious about who you share your health information with.
Okay.
Make sure you understand how it will be used and protected.
So it's about being informed
yeah.
and making conscious choices
right.
about how we share our data.
Precisely.
Okay.
And if you have any concerns, don't hesitate to ask questions.
Right.
Healthcare providers have a legal and ethical obligation to protect your privacy and security.
I think that's a powerful message to end on. Cybersecurity in healthcare is a shared responsibility.
It is.
And by working together, we can create a more secure and resilient system for everyone.
Couldn't agree more.
Great. Well, before we jump into the future of all this,
okay.
let's take a quick break.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back to talk about how things like AI and blockchain are changing the game in healthcare cybersecurity.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Before the break, we were talking about all the present day changes to how your health information is kept safe online.
Right.
But now let's take our exploration a step further.
Okay.
What does the future hold for cybersecurity in healthcare?
Well, I think this is a particularly fascinating area.
Okay.
You know, we're on the cusp of a technological revolution in healthcare.
Okay.
And cybersecurity is going to play a pivotal role in shaping that future.
Okay, so how so?
Well, it's not just about reacting to threats anymore.
Okay.
It's about anticipating and mitigating them
mm-hmm.
before they even emerge.
So it's about being proactive.
Yes.
And staying ahead of the curve. Absolutely. And that's where cutting-edge technologies like artificial intelligence,
okay.
machine learning,
mm-hmm.
and blockchain come into play.
Okay.
These aren't just buzzwords.
Right.
They're powerful tools that can transform how we approach cybersecurity in healthcare.
Okay. I'm ready to dive into the tech.
Okay.
Let's start with artificial intelligence and machine learning.
Sure.
What are they capable of that traditional security measures can't handle?
Imagine having a security guard.
Okay.
That can analyze massive amounts of data in real time.
Okay.
Instantly spotting any suspicious activity that a human might miss.
Okay, so it's like an early warning system for cyber threats.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
And they could do this on a scale that would be impossible for humans to manage. They can analyze network traffic, user behavior system logs, and other data sources to identify and flag potential threats before they cause any damage.
So it sounds like AI and machine learning can take a lot of the guesswork out of cybersecurity.
Exactly. They bring a level of precision and automation that simply wasn't possible before.
Okay.
They can help us identify vulnerabilities, predict attacks, and respond more quickly and effectively to incidents.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
It sounds like they can be incredibly valuable tools for strengthening our defenses.
They absolutely can.
Okay.
And they can also help us be more efficient.
Okay, how so?
For example, they can automate many of the routine security tasks that currently take up a lot of human time and resources.
Okay, so it's not just about replacing humans,
right,
but about freeing them up to focus on more strategic and complex tasks.
Precisely. AI and machine learning can handle the heavy lifting, allowing human security professionals to focus on things like threat hunting, incident response, and developing new security strategies.
Okay, I'm starting to see how AI and machine learning can really revolutionize cybersecurity in healthcare. What about blockchain? You know, we briefly talked about it before the break.
Yes.
But I'm still a bit fuzzy on how it fits into this picture.
Right. Think of blockchain as a tamper-proof digital ledger for your health information.
Okay.
It's like having a secure and transparent chain of custody for your data.
Okay.
That can be accessed and shared by authorized individuals.
Right.
But not altered or corrupted by malicious actors.
So it's like a digital vault for my medical records.
Exactly.
Okay.
That only the people I authorize can access.
Yeah.
Exactly. Blockchain has the potential to revolutionize how we store and share sensitive health information.
Wow.
It eliminates the need for a central authority to manage and verify data.
Right.
Which reduces the risk of breaches and makes it much harder for hackers to tamper with information.
That's incredible.
It is.
It sounds like it could bring a whole new level of security and transparency to the healthcare system.
It really could.
Wow.
Imagine a world where your medical records are stored securely on a blockchain.
Okay.
And you have complete control over who can access them.
Okay.
You could grant permission to your doctor, your pharmacist, your insurance company.
Right.
But you wouldn't have to worry about your data being compromised or misused.
That sounds like a major win for patient privacy and control.
It is, and it's just one example of how blockchain can transform healthcare.
Okay.
We're also seeing it being used for things like supply chain management, drug tracking, and even clinical trials.
Wow. The possibilities are truly mind-boggling.
They are.
But I have to ask, are we really there yet?
Mm-hmm.
Is blockchain actually being used in healthcare in a meaningful way?
Right.
Or is it still just like a futuristic concept?
It's still early days.
Okay.
But there are already real-world applications of blockchain in healthcare. We're seeing pilot projects, proof-of-concept trials, and even some companies starting to offer blockchain-based solutions commercially.
Okay.
It's definitely an area to watch closely in the coming years.
Okay. I'm adding blockchain and healthcare to my list of things to geek out about.
All right. Good.
But as exciting as all these technological advancements are, I'm sure there are also challenges and concerns that come with them.
You're absolutely right with any new technology.
All right.
There are always risks and challenges to consider.
Okay, like what?
In the case of AI and machine learning, there are concerns about bias, transparency, and accountability.
Okay.
And with blockchain, there are questions about scalability, interoperability, and regulatory oversight.
So it's not just about embracing the shiny new tech.
Right.
It's about using it responsibly and ethically.
Exactly. Yeah. We need to be thoughtful about how we implement these technologies.
Okay.
And ensure that they're used to enhance healthcare, not hinder it.
Right.
We need to have open and honest conversations about the potential risks and benefits.
Hmm.
And we need to develop clear guidelines and regulations to govern their use.
Okay. It sounds like navigating the future of cybersecurity and healthcare is going to be a complex journey.
It will be, but it's a journey worth taking.
Yeah.
The potential benefits are enormous.
Right.
and I'm confident that we can harness these powerful technologies to create a safer, more secure, and more patient-centric healthcare system.
I'm inspired. I'm sure our listener is as well.
I hope so.
Well, that's all the time we have for today's deep dive into the HIPAA security rule updates.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us.
It was my pleasure.
And a huge thanks to you for sharing your expertise.
You're welcome.
We hope you found this exploration informative and empowering.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, your health information is valuable.
It is.
And protecting it is a shared responsibility.
Absolutely.
Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay secure.